Hello and welcome back to the 1%ers Supercoach podcast. Ready and eager to deep dive into the mid-price madness that we have to navigate this year. How are you, Todd?
Oh, I'm good, Harrow. Oh, not really. Mid-prices, they are scary stuff. A lot of nightmares in the past, but we'll forget about that because I'll just give you a quick update into the tool train. The boys are up and about. It's lively scenes right here. We're making a quick pit stop off at Pitch Music Festival. Oh my God. Boys, we're rowdy. I'm rowdy. You're rowdy. Get on the talk train. I think Barry's just done a shooey over in the corner. Timmy, he's just done his fifth beer bong. Where are we? Boy, oh boy. Get on the talk train. It's not too late.
It's not the most PG start to the podcast, but That's all right. The train is going express at the moment. There was one stage where I did actually have him out of my sight. I stepped off the train onto the platform, and then I just could see people running towards the train. I thought I'd have to get back on.
Quite interesting.
It's going express to 125-30 average. He's going to be number one this year. We need to stop talking about
two. Just one quick thing. The train did break down earlier today, but Took just got out. Got his guns out and just pushed us along at 100 k's an hour. So bang, nothing fails in the Took train. So get on and you will not be disappointed. Yes. But anyway,
his ownership is climbing as well. He started at about 12%. He's 20 plus now. So the train might be struggling, but it's definitely picking up steam. Downhill, it's going to be unstoppable. But that's all right. We'll move on. Today, mid-prices, we've just mentioned, we're going to smash through rapid fire mid-prices in each line that we think are relevant. Some of the more expensive rookies that are around that 200K mark we might leave for our rookie episode, which will be dropping before round one. But just before we get into our defender mid-prices, get joining the 1% of Supercoach group. The league code is 654212. We've nearly got 50 in the group. We'd love to get that up to 100 plus again, I think, Todd.
Yeah, it's good to see people starting to get involved in the community. It'd be great if we could push that number up to that 100 mark. That's our goal at the moment. And it's also good. There's been a few polls on our Twitter. The latest one was between Butters, DeGoey and Haney. And I think the community just wants me to get rid of DeGoey even more now. Only 6% going with him. A strong 80% went with Butters. And
everyone knows it's Butters.
Slightly lower than that, down at 14% was Haney. So there's a massive massive following for Butters at the moment.
Everyone loves Butters.
Yeah, not really many people getting around DeGoey, even though he still is in my side at this moment.
DeGoey's still in the side. That's interesting. We'll be interesting to see if he maintains his spot in your side. Just before we dive in, quick mention, the fortune teller. He's in the sin bin for this week. He's having a week off.
Yeah, he has been sin binned.
A bit of reflection for him this week. So hopefully that doesn't derail the podcast this week.
Yeah, a lot more smooth sailing this week without him. And we may as well get right into it.
All right. So defenders, probably one of the most owned mid prices, George Hewitt for the Blues, 22% of teams last time I checked. You're not very keen.
Not quite. He has had that favorable role change. He's moved into the midfield, it seems. Oh, he was already in the midfield, but he's been freed up. He's broken out of jail. The shackles are off and he's no longer being used as that sole lockdown sort of defensive player. Yeah. He's gathering the ball, winning more of his own footy.
That has yielded very productive results for players in the past. Speaking of the Took train, we know that he was a defensive mid, was freed up to just run his own race, do his own thing, and has exploded since. Same with Jack Steele. So, look, could be interesting, but return of Sam Walsh might be damaging for his mid minutes. He might, float around the ground.
He has been getting those CBAs. He had 25 out of a possible 32 on the weekend. So he's been locked into that midfield. He had 33 touches at 87%, but a massive concern is that was only for 106 Supercoach points, and that's because he had 21 handballs. So if that's to go by, it's just he's going to have to work hard for his points there. And I feel like Walsh, Cripper and Chera will all be above him as well. So for him to be in your team, you'd have to average around that 100 mark and be a lock in that defensive line. He'd have to be a keeper.
I think so. I'm not overly keen on him as well. I think he's a great player, but Supercoach wise, yeah, you're right. If you're picking him, you probably do want him to be a keeper. He's already about 400K. So if you're wanting him to appreciate by 150K, he's getting into that 550K keeper sort of territory anyway. And I can't see him averaging 105+.
Yeah, I've also got another interesting insight. Of the teams last year, only four teams had four players who averaged above 100. And the Blues only had one being Walsh. So Walsh, Cripps and Chera being above Hewitt. Yeah. So it's unlikely that Hewitt really, even if he pushes that 100 barrier, I can't see him pushing much above that.
Even Doherty as well.
Yeah, so it is an average price. Best off, I feel like he averages around 95, which is sort of awkward at that price. You'll be able to pick up someone around that low 400K mark, I feel like, during the season. So for me, it's not for me. And even with his history, I don't know. I feel like he could be used for that lockdown role if they're playing against Gold Coast and took Rucks up about 40 touches in a half. So, yeah, I don't know about Hewitt.
Yeah, not in my side and won't be in my side. I know he's popular with some coaches, but will not be appearing in Harrow Sparrow's backline. We'll move on to a man that, I don't know, not super popular, but was in 4% of teams last time I checked. 275K, Heath Chapman, had 68 points at halftime against West Coast in the preseason game, finished on 90 points. He looked really good. He had 9 intercept possessions, went at 83%. Ja Longmuir, that's his name. I might have butchered that pronunciation.
Yeah, I think you've pulled it there, Harrow.
Yeah. look, he has said that he's able to play a number of roles. Quote, he's a really flexible player. We'll continue to play in a number of roles. I don't know. That's a bit scary. They've got a really tall back line at Freo, Pierce, Cox, Hamling, Logue. And given Chapman's ability to play multiple roles, he's probably likely to end up on smalls at some stage, which might take away from his intercept game, which we know he's excellent at. He probably would need to average over 85, 85-ish. And that's possible, but not definitely not a lock and just not worth the risk for me. I think he's going to be a great player, but at that 275K mark, not convinced and will not be in my side.
He'd have to try and push above that 400K mark to be a viable option. And
yeah, it's possible, but
there's
not confident.
Too much uncertainty around the Fremantle backline, I feel like. They've got a lot of options down there, and Ryan's their main ball user. I feel like they want to frame up.
Yeah, even Jordan Clark as well will get a lot of the ball in the backline. So, yeah, he won't be in my side. The next man definitely won't be in my side either, but he is someone that could explode this year. Looked like he had that really friendly cheap pill role in the back line. Nick Blakey, the Lizard.
We don't mind the Lizard down here at the 1%ers.
Yeah, I just love watching him run. Every time I see him just go for an uncontested loose ball on the wing, just limber over.
He's very awkward, but he is a good footy player. Man. He can pull out some the impossible at times and you just go, wow, he spikes a gun.
Yeah.
But he's been... It seems like he's going to break out every year. It just hasn't really.
He looked great. He obviously has had a little bit of a role change in the offseason. 118 in that practice match, 28 possessions off half back. Dawson gone to the Crows might help him. I don't know. They've got a few blokes that can rack up cheapies in that back line and around the ground. Jake Lloyd, the Seagull, obviously is one of them. McInerney looked excellent on the weekend as well. I don't know. I think that's a particularly, if he was low 200, maybe mid 200K, I might be keen. But at 325K, to appreciate that 150K that you want him to, he's got to push up towards 370K. He's probably got to average 470K, sorry. And he's probably got to average about 95. It's possible, but I don't think he's going to be averaging 95.
Yeah, I don't know. He's not the worst option. He's been moved around a lot in his career so far. So if he locks down that role and gets a bit of consistency down that in that back line, there's definitely a lot of
points to be won in
that Swans back line. They do love to chip it around at times. So he's not the worst option, but you'd have to be pretty brave to go in.
Yeah. Wayne Millera. Not Millera. Millera? Millera. All right, we're going to go with Millera. Not for me, Todd. What about you?
His history of injuries, too many, and he does have that spark and dash. He breaks lines, but then that just screams a hamstring tear.
Yeah, that screams
strain,
screams a twain.
Calf, niggle, this and that. So even if he does play well, he's averaged 80 in the past. yeah, around that 80 mark. And at his price at 270, he'd have to try and push that 85 mark to be a... Yeah.
And we don't have anything to go off either. I didn't play in the preseason. Played the Sandful trial game. Had a snag, but outside of the sausage, didn't really hear anything about his performance. So, I don't know. Just don't have enough to go off. Not confident.
Not much happening here. Not much enthusiasm.
Yeah, not much enthusiasm from amongst the percenters for Wayne.
Sorry, Wayne.
Sorry, Wayne. Yeah, not in our sides. Coleman, Twang, done. 10 weeks. Move on.
Yeah, I feel like this will be...
Short podcast.
I feel like this could be Wayne in about 2 or 3 weeks. Sorry to say, but it's just too much risk.
Put the moz on him.
Yeah, it's just these mid prices. There's a lot of Minson.
Oh, it's, yeah. Oh, there's, you've got to be careful with the amount of Minsons you pick in your
Minson
team.
Minson alert. As yeah. We may...
Alarm bells off at the moment.
So I know in the past I've had a fair few Minsons when it comes to mid prices. They just stink it up and they just need to get off the field and get out of your team.
That actually affects your life. I remember numerous times having a mid price play on a Sunday, doing a string, pulling out a stinker of a score. Oh no, lost your matchup that week because your pod mid price hasn't rocked up. Go to work on Monday, you've just lost your league matchup. Very sad. And you're meeting in the office on Monday. Not a good sign.
Yeah, another thing, these backline mid prices, they're always between 200 and 300K. Yeah, every year they always get talked up. I remember the great Jock Reynolds used to talk. Oh, who's that St Kilda? Webster?
Oh, Jimmy Webster.
Yeah, he got a massive rap.
Yeah.
I think everyone got on him and he averaged about 50. It's just never
backline mid price.
I can't remember one being a success. And it's just
it's scary.
It makes me feel sad just talking about this section, really.
Well, we've got the defenders wrapped up. They're done.
Fine, we got through that. It was tough. But,
So we haven't really endorsed any of them. None of them. Hewitt, Chapman, Blakey, Miller.
I feel like the best one out of them is Hewitt.
Yeah.
If he does go an average 95, which he's capable of, it's not the worst selection.
He might not appreciate 100K, but could just still be an awkward price and probably not getting as much cash as he would want to out of him, but who knows? He's playing in the guts until Walshy gets back. But
best case, he racks up 35 handballs 1 week and gets you 110 points. But
anyway,
I'm being a bit harsh, but
we'll see how we go. Next line is the midfield. Few juicy options in here, lots to unpack. Patrick Cripps,
Paddy Cripps. Oh my, he looked on.
He looked majestic in that game.
I've got a feeling the fortune teller would get a bit aroused. But
hang on. Did you? Can you hear that?
I don't know. Can you hear that?
Oh, something's going on.
Something's interrupting Paddy Cripps. I don't know. Is that?
I think our security system has been breached. Actually,
what's happening? You just opened the door.
I didn't open.
Oh no! What's happened here?
The fortune teller has just...
Welcome back to another segment of Frenchie's Fortune Telling. Now, I did hear the boys say last podcast, not sure if he's going to be back. Well, I am back. I'm back in a big way. I've got something, again, for the 1%ers community that I feel will set their team apart from others in this Supercoach season. And it's to do with a mid-pricer, a pod, some may call it. And his name starts with Patrick, and his last name is Cripps. Now, look, he has burnt many Supercoach players in the last 2 years, and he has been absolutely riddled with injuries, but he's had a fresh big pre-season. The man's just got engaged and he is fit and firing, ready to go this year. So my fortune tell is for the Supercoach community is get this man in your side. Now, it doesn't have to be round one. Watch him for a couple of rounds. But he is going to be a top six midfielder by the end of this year. He'll come back to his 2018, 2019 form where he was unstoppable. So watch this space. and make sure you get him in your side. Cheers.
Oh, oh my God.
Top six.
We need to improve our security down here at the 1%.
We need to top six. Shore up the security system.
He's also got engaged. Hope it's not the dugout again.
Oh jeez. Him and Darcy might be the same wedding.
He is pretty banged up.
Look, that's not nearly as bad as last week's prediction about Grundy. It's brave. Look, I think he could be back, Cripps. He could prove the fortune teller right. He could average 110 plus, and I would love to see that. We love Paddy Cripps.
I feel like this could redeem the fortune teller.
Yeah, it might. It genuinely has the potential to redeem the fortune teller.
He did look good, Cripps.
Yeah, he looked amazing.
Four goals.
Sublime. Kicked four. Moved so much better.
About a gazillion Supercoach points.
Yeah, looked majestic, really.
Moving very freely. Didn't look as crippled or banged up as he did last year. But then again, Colton, shit.
Oh, it's harsh, mate.
Probably cut that out. No, I can just cut it. Colton are a good footy team. So, Cripps, he needs to average close to that 110 for me to be a success, but he is a great option. He's looking good. He's looking fired up. It seems like he wants to prove a point.
I agree. I think that he's a loyal man. He's backed in the Blues through a period of pretty grim scenes. I think he's going to have a great year. Not in my team at the moment. Probably won't start him, but he could very handsomely reward coaches that back the great man in.
Yeah, for me, if I didn't have him last year, 100% he's in my team this year. But
had some nightmares last year.
Yeah, that you just got used to him scoring 60s at one stage, and it just became the norm. I don't know. He's burned me last year. Very hard. I was, had a building follow me, light up and blow up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, look, I don't know.
He's not in my team. The next man is in my team. Oh, he gets me going. He's just a red-headed beast. Matthew Rowell. Oh, my Lord. Jeez. Now, he's in a lot of teams.
I love this bloke.
Yeah, 37% of teams can completely understand why. All you have to do is just flick back to those first four games of the season. In 2020, 127 average, 9 Brownlow votes, if you don't mind. Looked like he was a genuine sniff to win Charlie. We know that he was really injured last year, just couldn't get going. Average 63. That's clearly somewhat skewed by the 6 that he scored in round 1 when he cooked the shoulder against the Cats. Geez, I was so sad seeing him go down. It gave me...
Don't mention that, Harry.
Yeah, sorry, mate. It actually reminded me of when McCaffer took down Gaz and ruined his shoulder.
Yeah,
it was almost like seeing
too much, Harrow.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah,
a bit too much for the audience. Yeah. Can't be hearing that.
You can't. Yeah, sorry, Matthew.
The great one going down. That was a bad day.
It was
the
end of the Supercoach God of Gaz. It was the end.
That was the end of
it ruined
Jesus Ablett God.
Yeah, it was. He was done. But, so look, Raul still young. Hopefully, he does bounce back. He's looked absolutely sensational this preseason. He looked like he's back. 27 disposals, 7 tackles.
Back.
7 tackles I thought was very encouraging. He's clearly got faith in his body. He racked it up in the intra club as well, or the scratch match the week before. No tape. Loved seeing no tape. Get those pasty pipes out. It was unreal. Look, he probably needs to average about 100 to make 150K. I think he will average 100 plus. He's in my side.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards that way. The only concern I do have, it scares me a little bit. He goes that hard at the footy. I reckon you put anything in front of him, he's running straight through it. It does win him Supercoach points, but then he just goes in and
it's a pretty combative game style.
Yeah,
he does
absolute battering ram out there.
Yeah, he needs to maybe he works for Sharon, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Sponsored by Sharon.
He's
always around Sharon's. Maybe he just needs to be around less Sharon during the day. He just gets attracted to it like a magnet.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know what he does in his social life, but that's it. That's the reality. When he's scoring Supercoach points, I don't really care. But it seems like he's just going to run into like Sean Darcy and just knock himself out. So
he's backing in.
Probably in my team, most likely.
Yeah.
I can see him. If he plays 22 games, 20 plus games, he'll average over 100, maybe 105.
He doesn't need to be a keeper. He just needs to play, the first eight or eight rounds-ish up to the buys and make you that coin. So
he could, yeah.
Yeah. Could be a great upgrade, stepping stone.
Could be that last upgrade you do to a Jack Steele, Took Miller, Clary, if you don't have him yet.
Yeah.
So he's, yeah, definitely one to watch. And oh, he'll be in a lot of teams. He's a gun.
Yeah. Next, Jared Berry. Now, I was really keen. I still am keen. I still think that he's going to end up in my side. He's in there at the moment. Slightly 50-50 on him. Oh, you need him to average about 85 to generate the coin that you need. He's clearly underpriced at 260K. I'm pretty confident he will average 85 plus. He was well and truly clearing that average in 2019, averaged 97 when he broke out. He had a stretch of games. I think it was between rounds 3 and 7 or something. He re-averaged about 112. Looks like he's getting that midfield time throughout the preseason. Had 11 centre bounce attendances, which interestingly was less than McCluggage and Bailey, which is a slight concern. My concern is that he does end up still playing that Mr. Fix-It role for Fags and sort of gets a bit lost, struggles to find the pill. Because he's not actually a massive accumulator. Has never had 30 disposals in his life.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, never before. So he doesn't rack up much of the ball, relies heavily on tackling, which is good because can compensate for the low possession games with a lot of tackles. But he also has a massive ceiling. So he's gone 130 plus a number of times. I think he's a good selection. It's just, yeah, durability issues. Had the hammy, groin and calf issue last year. I don't know. What do you reckon?
Yeah, he's not a bad option. Your heart will sink if you don't get him and he pulls out a 150 round one.
Yeah, we can
go. But then saying that, the main concern around him is he's the Mr. Fix-It. He has been that in the past. He's played in the back line, played in the midfield.
Wing.
Played on the bench. He's been the barista. At half time, he's even served
the oranges.
Yeah, he served me chips at Rooster one time as well. He does it all. He just, yeah, so that's the only issue around Berry, but yeah, he's a very good option.
Yeah, Zorko.
He could easily, if he solidifies a midfield role or even on the wing, where he's around the ball and not.
Yeah, he just needs to be somewhere he can just hug blokes and tackle them. And then I think he'll go okay. Zorko back might hurt him as well if Zorko plays in the guts.
There are a lot of.
There's a few concerns there, but.
Bit of competition for that midfield role down at Brizzy.
It's good that Lyons has been shafted a little bit from the midfield because that'll give him a little bit more opportunity through there. Promising signs that he is attending centre bounces. He's in my side at the moment. I think that he'll stay there. Next man's not in my team, but, could very possibly make his way in there. It'll be really, really scary having Raoul, Berry and Jai Caldwell.
I'm quite big on this bloke. He does have a lot of talent. Was a massive standout. When I say massive, massive standout in their first intra-club. He was the talk of the whole game, killed in the first half. McGrath going down back opens up that midfield position, but it's just the CBAs. I'm just a little bit concerned with you've got Dylan Shield, the butcher, the town butcher, coming back into the midfield.
So you go to the coffee shop, Berry gives you your coffee, and then you go next door to the butcher and Dylan Shield serves you up a bit of a Frankfurt.
And a ribeye. So, Dylan Shield, you get Merritt, Parrish, Shield, and then Caldwell. If he does get that strong minutes in the midfield, I feel like he will be a good option. He's only 266K, so he only needs to push that 80 average and he'll be a great pick for your team. But just going on that, he did only have, I think it was, how many CBAs did he have in that first scratch match? Harry, do you
don't
remember?
Have it on me, but I know that in the second half.
Yeah, I've got it here.
Second half, he was when Merritt was rested.
Yeah, so last weekend he had 12. And when Merritt was rested, he had 7 of 9.
Mm.
So that did free up the role for him. And he actually played quite well. I think he scored 111 Supercoach points and had 25 odd touches. But then the week before that in the scratch match, he only had the 3 CBAs. And apparently he was playing that more wing and half forward role. So
I think he only played a half though.
He played 3 quarters and racked up 15 touches.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I'm not overly concerned by that. I thought he looked excellent in the preseason.
He is cheap, 266K. Yeah. That range has been known to burn you.
Yeah. Well, okay. I'll put you on the spot. Him or Berry. If you can only take one, who are you taking?
Him or Berry. You'd probably have to go Berry, wouldn't you?
Yeah. I think it's just proven history of averaging. Yeah. I think it's a lot closer than people think, though, especially given that Caldwell looks like he's going to get a bit of a run in the midfield. But yeah, Berry probably slightly ahead for me as well. Jordan Clark, next one. I'm surprised he's only got mid status. He might pick up defensive DPP after round six if he's playing that bruise-free Seagull, Jake Lloyd role in the back line at the Dockers. Only in 3% of teams. Pod, awkwardly priced, really, really awkwardly priced. 338K. Probably would need to average about 95 to generate 150K, close to 100 average. I don't think he's going to average that. I can definitely see him in for a spike up to that 80, 85 average. But I just feel like even if he does get there, he's going to be that awkward low 400K price. It's hard to go up. Just, yeah, not for me.
Yeah, he's got a beautiful kick.
Oh, great boot, definitely.
Yeah, it was a bit annoying last year when he didn't get unleashed. Bit too young.
Yeah.
Only finished preschool. So, yeah, that doesn't quite get you a gig in the nursing home. So, yeah, he does have a lot of potential. I wouldn't be surprised if he pushes that average up. But he takes up that valuable midfield role. He'll probably earn that DPP after round six. But for early in the season, he takes up that, yeah, he's got the Rows and Berries around him. It's just probably just better options out there for me.
Yeah. Okay, we'll move on to the forward line. And this is probably where the meat is, the juice, where a lot of coaches are probably having a few headaches at the moment because there are a stack of options. We might leave the 200K-ish rookie-priced players for the next week. So we've got blokes like Jerry. I don't know. Dave? I'm not sure.
whatever tickles your fancy.
Yeah, whatever floats your boat. But him, Naish, Ralph Smith, we'll mention them next week. We're going to start with Cornelio. He is a gun. And he, please, we don't need you singing. Cogs is back.
He's back.
I don't think we need to really say much. People that
same as Cog.
Yeah.
He's Emilio.
Cogman is back. Everyone that's serious about Supercoach has him in their team. He's in 70% of teams. I'm not sure what the other 30% are doing. It looks like they've logged in and just forgot to put him in and logged back out, never to go back in again. So get him in your team. We're moving on. We don't need to discuss Cogs. Next man, Will Brody. Now, 29% of teams. That's a very substantial number of coaches, proportion of coaches that are, I've got him at the moment, but I'm very iffy. He might go out. I know that a lot of coaches are really, really keen on him, but I don't know, turned up in preseason, scored 80 in the scratch match, kicked two goals. Looks like he does have that inside mid role that he really just was deprived of at Gold Coast. Attended 13 centre bounces in the preseason game against West Coast of 25, what really concerns me, and I know this has been doing the rounds on Twitter a bit, is Fife coming back. And Fife's statement that came out recently, and I quote, is that the experiment playing forward yielded some good results, but it's officially over. I'm a midfielder, and that's where I'm playing. That's a bit
intimidating. That gets me a bit excited about Fife.
No, Fife is life, but Fife is also life. No shoulder. Yeah. And
yeah, no, nothing.
That would be an Uber pod. If you pick Fife, he could average 120 and be the best pod ever. But he's almost him and Darcy in the dugout together. The dugout might break. It's scary.
Yeah, the dugout's quite spoiled down at Freo.
Oh, the dugout's copped a serious workout at Freo. But yeah, Brody, I think Fife back's potentially a problem for Brody.
Yeah, so with Fife back, you have Fife, Brayshaw, Mundy, and Sarong.
They all have
to be ahead of Brody.
Even with Terragon, I think you were right in saying earlier that if Brody pulls out two average games, could easily end up as the sub.
Yeah, and then you lost. If he scores 20 and then he's stuck in your team.
Connor Blakely's there for 3 weeks and then he can't. Yeah, I don't know.
That's
It's hard with Brody because I don't. yes, he might have that spot for round one, round two, but I don't feel like he's entrenched into that side, even like a Cam Rayner is at the line. So we'll speak about it a little bit later. That either of us are hugely keen on him, but I feel like a few bad games could end up with Brody out of the side and end up with you feeling very angry on your Sunday.
Yeah, I do know Freo, they also do like to rotate their midfielders. So sometimes if you're on the outer in their midfield, you don't get a lot of game time. So it can be even harder to score points.
And Brody doesn't even play much game time either. He only had 67% time on ground, which is a bit concerning.
Yeah, I feel like that may be the norm in the season. Yeah.
And he did have the highest points per minute, which is encouraging. But yeah, you'd want to be seeing him in the 70% plus time on ground. Charlie Kernow,
apparently he's a specimen. Looking fit. He's looking firing. Cripper says he has not lost any of his athleticism that saw him play so well those few years ago. To be a valuable option, he'd have to average around about 75 to that 80 range. Mm. And I think if he's playing, he averages 80, but that's a massive if he's playing. So there is that injury risk. He did have I think he jarred his knee.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he got a knock in the scratch match, and was just rested. I'm not concerned. He's going to play in round one. Can he be the Joe Danaher of this year? Jeez, coaches would be very happy if he did turn out to be Danaher V2. But yeah, not in my side at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like it's a bit of a Kmart version of Joe Danaher from last year. Just that level down, but I don't know.
Yeah. What about Mitch McGovern if we're staying on the Blue Burgers train?
Mitch McGovern, I actually did like Mitch McGovern's game. He floated across half back.
He's just playing like his brother, isn't he, in that role? 8% of teams is substantial. Well, that's more than I thought it would be, to be honest. If he's playing that intercept role, he turned up, I think, in the preseason game. He's just filling that void that was left by Liam Jones. And,
A lot of these mid prices, they are touchy.
So
you can't pick him with confidence because in past seasons, not a lot of them have come out to be good options.
Yeah, he's too risky for me. But in that,
he's playing a similar role to Liam Jones, and Liam Jones has averaged 69, 66, and 66 over past seasons. Yeah. So he'd have to bump
McGovern,
that up.
Yeah, I feel like McGovern's more of an intercept player than Jones, who could. Was more of like a one-on-one contested mark. But having said that, McGovern, I feel, is benefited by the fact that the Blues have a really strong forward line. I don't think he's going to be swung forward. It looks like he's pretty settled there in defence, which is promising. I prefer McGovern over someone like Heath Chapman, even though they're in different lines. They're playing similar roles. I'd be backing in McGovern, but, just not in my team at the moment.
Yeah, for me, it'd have to be a pass. There's better options around there in the forward line. So
is Jade Gresham one of those options? Ooh.
Jade Gresham is an option. He's in 17% of teams. Mm. That's a lot.
That is a lot.
A 300K forward. He's very talented, very agile player.
Yeah, very nimble. And Hunter Clark doing the shoulder. Very sad, but very good for Gresham potentially.
So it has been said he hasn't really missed a beat over the summer. The past two seasons, he's had that back stress fracture and then he's ruptured his Achilles last year, which is, that's a devastating injury, that one. But, he's another one. A lot of these players, they're not that durable. That's why they're so cheap. And saying that, he did look very good in the Saints match sim in mid-Feb. And I think that's why the hype's, that's why he's got so much hype around him at the moment.
Mm. Did play more forward, though, in that preseason game, didn't he?
Yeah, that is the concern. So, for me, he'd have to get those CBAs, and he only had 5 on the weekend out of... So, when you look at the other players, Steele had 20, Ross had 19, Brad Crouch was ahead of him with 14, Hunter Clark had 10, Gresham had 5. So, I feel like he gets a few more because Clark's gone down. Maybe he pushes it up to 10 or so, but for me, he'd... have to get a few more than that to really bump his average up because he is priced at 300K, so you'd want him to probably hit that 90 range
to
make that cash.
Has the potential to, but will not be starting in my side. Just too awkwardly priced for me. and I'll be considering other mid-priced options. Cam Rayner isn't going to be one of them, but he's in a lot of teams.
Yeah, as you said, another one who's had a lot of hype around him. He was really good in the preseason. He's had a near faultless summer and he did miss last week's game, but that was only due to family reasons, so no injury concerns there. I just don't see him getting enough CBAs like Gresham. There's Neil, Lyons, Bailey, Zorko. There's a lot of competition in that, even Berry in that midfield.
Yeah.
He only had the 12 last weekend out of a possible 31. Neil was in the 20s. Lyons had 15. Darcy Fort had, he's the Ruckman, 15. McCluggage had 14. Bailey had 13. So he's sort of fifth in line going off that. And, yeah, I don't know if he has a fit. He's supposed to be really fit at the moment, but I don't think he's got enough preseason, especially coming off that ACL to really push.
I don't even know if it's a fitness thing for me. I just 270K, have to be pushing into that 400K mark. Definitely has the potential to, but I just, prefer other options. I've got Cogs locked in. Oh, Brody's giving me headaches. Brain is actually locked in to their side, which is positive, unlike Brody. But yeah, I don't know. Even someone like Tristan Jerry is potentially ahead of him for me. But we'll talk about him next week. I feel like if we're going to wrap up and do our top mid prices, the best value mid price pick, so we think you're going to reward coaches, we might do a top five, not a top three.
Top five. Yes. Yeah. Harrow's putting me on the spot.
Yeah,
here.
On the spot, mate. Doesn't have to be. Oh, no. Sorry, okay, go on. We're going to go top five mid prices, best value picks that are going to reward coaches in order. Go, fire away.
Oh, I'll let you go, Harry.
Oh, I'll go first. Fair enough.
I had a little bit of time to go.
Okay. I think clear number one, Cogs. I think he's going to average over 100, and I think he's going to be a keeper in our forward lines. Matthew Rowe at two, I think he's going to bounce back. The big saucy beast and average 100 plus as well. Jared Berry, I think, is going to be good value. He's just ahead of Caldwell in third spot. Caldwell four, hopefully gets a good consistent run in the Dons midfield. And then, the majestic 6'4" beast, Pat Cripps. I think he can bounce back as well. Hopefully, for the fortune teller's sake, that happens. He's number five for me.
Oh, so that's mine's are quite similar. So I'd have to say Caniglio. If he's not number one, then
what are you doing?
I think he's drinking the water down at East Molden. So
yeah, agree.
Yeah, we have him at one. Number two, Matt. I'm gonna go with a great man, Paddy Cripps. I reckon he bounces back this year.
Yeah,
I don't know if I can fit him in my side with the structure I have at the moment. I'm gonna have to wait on to see what rookies are available. But he did burn me last year. But his name is Paddy Cripps, and he is a gun. When he's in form, he's one of the best in the game. So I can see him going that 110 plus range again. So Cripps at number two, Rao, he's at number three for me. I can see him going 100 plus and making some good money for you and being a very good stepping stone. At four would have to be Berry.
Yeah.
And then to round out the top five, I've got Caldwell.
Yeah.
Is he for a good year?
Yes. Well, I think that's going to be the headache for coaches is finding a way in their structures to get in these players. Cogs will be locked into all sides. Rao's going to be popular. But it's that next rung of Berry, Caldwell, some of those 200 to 300K players. It's how many of them can you pick? Is the real dilemma.
Yeah, because we've already, by the looks of it, we're already going to have Dacos.
You've already got Dacos, you've got Horn Francis, you've got Josh Ward, 180K.
There's already a lot of expensive rookies, so you can't really, you can try and fit in a few, but you've already got Cogs, has to be locked into your team, otherwise I don't know what you're doing. So, yeah, you got them. You might have room. You can justify having one, maybe two more on top of that.
Mm.
But, you don't really want to go too many mid prices. It never
works.
It's
going to be very interesting structurally. I know in my midfield, at the moment, it frightens me, but I do have three primo mids, and I've got Matty Rao. I do have Berry in there, and then you've got the three sort of elevated price rookies in Horn Francis, Dacos, and Ward as well. So it's sort of a mid-pricey, scary midfield. But, yeah, it'd be really next level freaky to get someone like a Caldwell in there as well somehow. I don't know. You can't fit too many in, but we'll leave it there.
But then, yeah, it should be noted that you do have those extra tradesies this
year. That's true.
So
that is true.
If you do have those extra mid-prices, then you've got the trades.
Yeah, that's true. And I feel like if you do pick a Caldwell or a Berry, it's easy just to go down to one of the other rookies. I don't think there's as much risk this year, especially with some of the extra trades, the five extra trades that you've got. You could go down to a rookie and upgrade someone elsewhere. So we'll leave it there for today. Hopefully we've punched that episode out a little bit more efficiently than last week, but we'll talk to everyone soon. Jump into the group, Supercoach group again. Get involved, 654212. We'll chat to you very, very shortly. Before round one, we're going to go through rookies after they're named, hopefully, and we're going to do a team reveal.
Yeah, I'm very excited to do that. It's going to be good to see. You always have to do the rookies last. It just helps put your team together and helps you decide on some of those tough decisions. So it's going to be really interesting, especially some of those rookies, they start to get named a little bit early.
Yeah, it'll be, that's what we're hoping for. The teams won't be completely out, but hopefully we get word that there'll be a few round one debuts and we can start
sneaky podcast Thursday night.
Yeah, that could happen. Yeah. Stay tuned for that. We'll chat to you very, very soon. Mm-hmm.